I'm Richard Hake with WNYC's Life After Sandy, Stories from the Storm. The New York City Department of Sanitation has already hauled away some 340,000 tons of debris citywide. Furniture, wood, damaged walls, and personal belongings are in huge heaps at Jacob Riis Park on the Rockaway Peninsula. Reports from the storm-battered shore communities tell the stories of neighbors helping each other recover from Sandy. And now signs of renewal are beginning to emerge. Area Home Depots have hired some 500 additional staff members to meet the demand of active rebuilding. In the East Village, water flooded many basements and destroyed the boilers and electrical systems. Many of these structures are co-ops, where the apartment residents own shares in the buildings. WNYC's Marianne McCune found that in some ways, collective ownership has made recovery a bit easier.
On the night of the flood, Tom Radigan and his neighbors gathered on their East 14th Street stoop to watch the water rise. The electricity was out, there'd been strange explosions at the Con Ed substation across Avenue C, and now a yellow light came floating through the darkness. Firefighters making their way toward Con Ed in a Zodiac.
Here we are on 14th Street, watching the boats come down in the annual boat parade.
The large co-op Radigan lives in lines much of the block between Avenues B and C, 6 5-story buildings. Many of its residents bought their apartments in the 1980s, when crack vials littered empty lots and gunshots rang out at night. So Carol Kostick says camaraderie and a can-do attitude have long been a part of the culture here, but they were rekindled with the flood.
We were calling ourselves SOPAW, South of Power.
To the north was the Emerald City. Though this building is in Zone A and residents were supposed to evacuate, Kostick and her neighbors estimate half stayed, and they checked on each other constantly.
It's amazing how powerful the homing instinct is.
Among the homesteaders and squats and early co-ops of the East Village, there's an entrenched hands-on tradition. So owners in the East 14th co-op didn't just help each other, they also did what they could for the building. In the weeks that followed, they cleaned out their basements, they put up signs asking Con Ed to inspect their building, then signs saying, now hook us up.
So any news on the electricity?
Okay, here's the news.
In this co-op, part of the maintenance fee residents pay each month goes to a beloved managing agent, Zohar Halfan. So he was the one to bring contractors to the basement to survey the damage.
This is the oil tank?
Yeah.
But many East Village co-ops are completely self-run. Around the corner and a few blocks down Avenue C, Jill Woodward was drinking hot tea in a cold kitchen, her cat purring in her lap.
It's Lucy. She's 19 years old.
Woodward's co-op has only 9 apartments, and after Sandy, responsibilities floated from one to the next.
My husband lost a week of work, like his company was very understanding, but now he's really back at work, and we have other members that don't have a job right now, so that is actually helping.
During those first few weeks, residents took turns making calls about insurance, the boiler, which was totaled, electricity. Several residents went to a mold remediation workshop in a local church. A dozen men from South Carolina spent weeks in the neighborhood sharing their flood expertise and labor.
If you had 3 feet of water in this wall and it only came in here for an hour or two and it suddenly went back out, is that wall okay?
No, they said. And Woodward's neighbors brought back what they learned.
We've all rolled our sleeves up together and taken nasty trash out to the sidewalk, so we definitely were all like a, you know, I don't want to say like one big happy family, but we do know each other better at this stage.
Of course, no co-op is 100% harmonious, and neighbors along these blocks have described dysfunctional moments on the road to recovery. A co-op board that took several cold days to vote on whether to fix or replace a broken boiler. Buildings where all the work fell on only a few residents. Co-op members hotly debating whether mold is or isn't a problem. On a recent morning after dropping her daughter at a neighborhood school, East 7th Street resident Simin Farhande said Sandy brought both teamwork and tension to her 24-unit co-op.
That night, so many people came together on the street in front of our door and started saying, oh, I'm so-and-so, for, I live, which floor are you on? I didn't even know. That was the catalyst.
First, they tried to stop the water by filling bags with sand from the planters. And in the weeks that followed, Farhande says an archivist volunteered to dry out the co-op's soaked records. Another resident is writing up the building's request for aid from FEMA. Since Sandy, Farhande says, newly active shareholders have rejected the board's plans to take out a large mortgage in hopes of instituting more do-it-yourself approaches, maybe peer-to-peer lending. There are obviously some new tensions in the building, Farhande says, but she argues Sandy and its aftermath served as a reminder that co-op stands for cooperative.
We have to share in those kind of situations. And then the beauty of working together comes out, you know. It's really very, very worthy, you know, it's valuable.
Especially given the likelihood, she predicts, that something like Sandy will return to test New Yorkers again. For WNYC, I'm Marianne McCune.
Another community we're following that was hard hit by Sandy is the Rockaways. On a six-block stretch on the peninsula, the task of replacing sheetrock and water-damaged floors is well underway. While insurance claims and FEMA payouts are pending, Stephen Nesson has this report on the do-it-yourself, take-charge attitude of the neighborhood.
Between 110th and 116th Street on Rockaway Beach Boulevard, low-slung bungalows share the street with dozens of small businesses and two-story clapboard homes, like the one owned by Bob Gates.
Who resided in this house 1987, so the end of this month will be 25 years.
The 58-year-old firefighter lives a block from the ocean. During Sandy, floodwaters rose 6 feet, ruining the first floor of his home and destroying his rental in the back. Gates' flood insurance expired 5 years ago, and he isn't waiting for his homeowners to come through. He's gutted the place and is making it livable again.
Fortunately, I had some money saved for a rainy day, and whatever I get, I get. Hopefully, it'll cover the materials, and I'll take care of the labor. I got friends.
With putty knife in hand, his buddy James Hoffman is spackling the new drywall in the kitchen.
Yeah, we help each other. That's what you gotta do in this neighborhood. You gotta stick together and help each other.
Hoffman is a bridge painter. Has been going home to home helping all his Rockaway pals.
There's no do-overs here.
Listen, I'm not touching your walls. I'm not touching your walls.
Yeah, it has to get another pelt.
Head down the block, and the charred remains of 17 buildings are still waiting to be demolished. Businesses are closed. But if you follow the neon hand-drawn sign for Olga and Yolanta's European beauty salon, you soon arrive on 116th Street. The only shops open are bodegas, hardware stores, and this lone salon called Beauty and Spa.
Well, you're my first customer here. Oh, good. Lucky you're not my first customer of my career.
A TV in the corner plays the soaps, and there's a wall of nail polish.
Oh, this sink is right nice.
Everything is new. The owner has taken in half a dozen hairdressers from nearby salons that are still closed. It's like a Rockaway hairdresser's all-star team. The salon was flooded during Sandy, but the 33-year-old owner, Michael Badlove, used credit to replace the chairs and supplies.
Listen, people want to feel more better, I think, what's going on now, you know. They want to do the hair, they want to do manicure, pedicures, you know, they want to be more relaxing.
Badlove hopes his new hairdressers, like 67-year-old Richard Blank, will bring in their Rolodex of regular clients.
Cut, blow, set, style, perm. I do wigs, hair pieces. I don't do makeup. But other than that, I do mostly everything.
Blank lives nearby and was enjoying semi-retirement when Sandy struck.
I was very happy being home, but now I have to rebuild my home, so I need money. So I have to go back to work. It's not such a bad thing going back to work, but you know, you have to go back to work in order to survive.
By mid-afternoon, they've only had a few customers. Like the firefighters at Gates' home, pulling together and rebuilding each other's homes, Badlove is putting salonists in the area back to work. One business at a time, one home at a time, rebuilding the Rockaways continues. For WNYC, I'm Stephen Nesson.
Next time on Life After Sandy, Stories from the Storm, we go back to Staten Island and check in on the Ocean Breeze neighborhood to see how insurance companies are aiding in the rebuilding. Visit our website, WNYC.org, for more information, pictures, and this week, a video from Rockaway Beach Boulevard. Comment on our page and tell us how the recovery is in your area. For WNYC, I'm Richard Hake.